Leadership can be hard, and sometimes it can feel quite selfless as a new leader. It's all about people, how you get the best out of them, and every individual is different. I've seen many new leaders stumble early because they haven't been able to leave their own egos at the door. The advice is, remember, you don't always need to know the answer or be the one making all the decisions. Your job is to channel everyone's talent in your team and make sure your frameworks and the support is there to sort of harness the greatness from all your members.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
How would you charge your smartphone without electricity or contact your family without the internet? That stab of anxiety you might have just felt at the mere thought of that scenario playing out is the same one most people feel when they move house, which is something my guest today knows all about. Mel Lang is the head of ConnectNow, a company that looks after this kind of thing for people that are on the move. Mel is a highly experienced leader in the areas of customer service and transformation, having held senior roles at AGL and HSBC. She also spent 10 years at GE from 1998 when the company first came to Australia under Jack Welch, learning the art of Six Sigma and also how to reduce waste through creating great processes. Today, she's going to talk to us a little bit about some of the new things ConnectNow are doing in the marketplace, while giving us some great leadership tips from her vast experience from both the real estate industry and the corporate world. So welcome to the podcast, Mel Lang.
Thank you very much, Sam. Thank you for having me along.
It's great to have you along. As I said, you know, someone that is so experienced in the real estate industry but has had a very long career in both customer service and transformation. So tell us a bit about your role at ConnectNow.
I spent 15 years in finance working for GE Money and HSBC in Melbourne. And then I moved into Tier 1 energy retailing about 7 years ago, heading up channel development, new connections in the building sector, and also residential solar virtual power plant battery sales team. I'm currently the head of ConnectNow, which is a home moving specialist. We're a multi-branded business helping agents, clients sort out all of their home moving needs. And it's all in one simple call, ensuring the lights are on when the customers move in. And as everyone knows, the journey doesn't end once a tenant signs the leasing documents or buys their properties. It's also about ensuring a seamless move-in, as today's renters can be tomorrow's home buyers and investors.
I can remember, let's say 10 years ago, when you would move house, you didn't have to worry about the internet or charges or anything like that. But now when people move house, they kind of expect it to all just work. They expect it to walk in and it's all on, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the research is telling us they want seamless, they want it now, and they want the lights on when they move straight in. And our whole proposition is built around that, because not only are they wanting energy, they're wanting home moving, they're wanting removalists, they're wanting telco. We have multiple brands on our panels that sort of service to that.
Awesome stuff. So as a leader right now, what is the most important thing you're working on and how are you making that happen?
The biggest focus for us is digital transformation. I'm looking at that across a number of our business areas. Customers expect more, and why shouldn't they? They've got more choice than they've ever had before, as we all know. And if we want to continue to offer new and innovative products and services, we need to make sure we've got the right platforms to serve it up quicker, more accurately and individualised. I'm a real big believer in digital should be the way you do business, and I don't always mean that front end, because I know not every customer wants to interact with businesses digitally, but combining back end digital processing for everyday processes is where we're focusing. I think my team get very tired because I keep stating to them, if it's not repeatable, scalable, it's manual, then we need to find a better way, which is true. And that's probably because of my 10 years at GE under Jack Welch and Jeff Immelt's reign at GE, because I'm a very process focused and results driven leader. I hate waste. I feel it leaks profit and it also leaks customers. And if a foundation or your infrastructure is overcomplicated and the steps a customer needs to go through and it's very convoluted to buy, it's simple, they'll just buy from somewhere else. And Connect Now, about a year ago, we implemented a new customer CRM system, and we're now starting to see the NPS scores roll through from that. And they're actually scoring us a positive 43 NPS. And when you start looking at the verbatim feedback and using the data, it's telling us that our sales agents are holding better conversations, we're matching the needs much closer and also a lot quicker within the range of MOVE connection service providers we have on our panel.
Amazing stuff. That must make you very proud.
Very proud. We've been on a big growth journey, so it's going well.
That's interesting that you were at GE at the same time as Jack Welch. Obviously, he's one of the iconic leaders of our time. What was one of the amazing things that you learned working under Jack?
It's definitely process re-engineering. You walk into a lot of businesses, and under Jack Welch, I was very lucky to be invested in to do a lot of Six Sigma and lean processing. So you learn very quickly to reinvent yourself constantly every single day and to not just strive to look at a broken process, but look at processes that are still going okay, but you can absolutely optimize them to get better results for customers and or yourself from a business perspective. So I think being able to be in that framework and sort of grow up with my career through that has been really beneficial for me moving forward.
Interesting. Well, this is a really good segue into the Leadership Diaries, which is why we've got you here today. So Mel, are you ready?
I'm ready, Sam.
All right. So what was your first job and what did it teach you?
I was in the New Zealand gymnastics squad, would you believe it? So no surprise, I was coaching and I coached a small group of international stream girls at the time who were about 6 to 8 years old. And look, that just taught me so many skills, probably too many to cover in today's interview. But there's probably about a couple that come to mind. One is it's amazing what people can achieve if you push your limits. And when I say that, I liken in business to leaning into discomfort and taking risks, which as we know as leaders can sometimes be really fearful or uncomfortable. And I saw gymnasts land moves that they thought they would never achieve. And sometimes it was a mental preparation or physical one. But once they nailed it the first time, it became repeatable behavior and it just got easier. The other one is to be able to provide and receive feedback freely. Without feedback, you can't learn. And I don't think feedback should be seen as a positive or a negative. It just is. It's constructive. And it taught me that it can help keep you on track, whether it's going to your next job, your next task, your next trick. And in a business sense, you want to get better at it. So without feedback, you never know what you need to work on. And probably the third is around resilience. Gymnastics takes a lot, and I mean a lot of resilience. And when I was coaching, you can imagine little girls training and myself, one task 1,000 times a week to fall, stumble, crash and burn consistently until you get it right. You only get one shot when you're competing. So I learned to coach and mentor people through that complete emotional rollercoaster journey. And sometimes it can be very tough.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does the first hour of your day look like and how does it go after that? Are you like a 5 a.m. clubber or are you your morning person?
I am a 5 a.m. wake up person, but only because my 6-year-old burrows his head into my side every morning and asks me whether it's time to get up or is it the weekend yet. He's not a big fan of primary school. I'm hoping that'll change before it ends. My first hour is a morning of packing lunches, getting breakfast for everybody, making sure everyone is dressed correctly because my little boy has tendency to forget his underpants and sometimes I only identify that when I'm getting him ready for bed. And then I'm also organising dinners and making sure everyone's got their right permission slips in their bags for when they go to school in sun hats. So you can hear mornings for me with a young family, having a 6- and 8-year-old, are really hectic. So that's probably the first hour of my day.
How do you recenter yourself to go back into such a high responsibility corporate role?
I'm really quite high energy as a leader as well. So it is very much about departmentalising yourself when you get into work away from home. But look, I sit in meetings sometimes and still get the call from school that I need to pick them up because they've got a cold or they're not feeling well. So it's being able to just do that juggle and balance. Because of probably my sport discipline, I have a real knack for being able to sort of centre myself and move on to the next thing. So that's probably a strength of mine.
Can you name someone who's had a big impact on you as a leader?
I would actually have to reference my father. In the 70s and 80s, he was solo father bringing myself and my sister up, which was a really rare thing back then. And he was also juggling an executive role, running a train manufacturing workshop for New Zealand Rail in Dunedin, New Zealand. So for listeners that aren't familiar with Dunedin and the South Island, New Zealand, it's probably the size between Ballarat and Bendigo. It's around 120 people, and he employed around 500 staff. At the same time, he juggled three part-time jobs to send me overseas for my sport. I look back at that, and I probably didn't realise at the time, but he was well ahead of his time for gender balance and senior management roles, and especially because it was in a transport manufacturing business. He worked very hard at managing his talent pipeline with the females, and even to the fact of back then sending them on overseas training courses and leadership programs. And he was also very passionate about the concept of self-managed teams, which even before they became Management 101 and quite trendy. I think about the values that he taught me, and he's not around anymore. So I do find myself saying all the time, what would have Dad done in this situation? Because he was well before his time in leadership. And I was very lucky to be exposed at a very young age. And I witnessed him transform operating models and his business over decades.
Very, very interesting. It sounds like he was probably a good leader as far as the family goes as well.
I actually don't know how he did it all, Sam.
Who are you learning from right now?
I learn from everyone every day. I try to take the best out of any situation, and I probably would say over the last week, I have to reference Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand, the Prime Minister. The way she's dealt with the awful situation in Christchurch over sort of the last week has been absolutely outstanding. I have admired her ability to stand up, and she's shown to be a leader that's mixed compassion with authority at a very tough time for the country. She's been very swift to act, driving decisions through policy change to maintain a safer future for New Zealand, which I absolutely admire. And she hasn't mucked around with it at all. The whole country's behind her. Her messaging has been clear and on point. She hasn't faltered once. And I love the fact that she's sticking to her ideals and her values for New Zealand. She's really, really impressed me. I've got a newfound respect for her.
What is one characteristic you think every leader should possess and why?
One that I've probably been teasing out a little bit and labelled lately is tenacity. And it keeps coming up again and again when I'm benchmarking successful sales leaders. And I think if anyone out there has listened to Angela Lee Duckworth, she describes it as passion and perseverance. And it's probably one you don't see typically on the top 10 list, but it's actually the quality I find at the moment that speaks. We will find a way, we'll be there at the right time, right conversation, right product, right price. People that have stamina day in, day out, they work hard to get the job done and they'll have really long-term vision. And it's probably my salespeople at the moment who have tenacity and that are becoming really successful in sales. They have oodles of it and they just don't give up.
What advice would you give to someone going into leadership for the first time?
Leadership can be hard and sometimes it can feel quite selfless as a new leader. It's all about people, how you get the best out of them, and every individual is different. I've seen many new leaders stumble early because they haven't been able to leave their own egos at the door. The advice is, remember, you don't always need to know the answer or be the one making all the decisions. Your job is to channel everyone's talent in your team and make sure your frameworks and the support is there to sort of harness the greatness from all your members.
What is your favourite question to ask in a job interview and why?
Because I'm a customer-centric junkie, The one question I like to throw into an interview is, how do you wow your customers? It really gives me a glimpse into candidates on how customer obsessed they really are. And I'm sort of looking for answers on how they gain trust, how do they use insight or foresight to innovate for customers? Can they articulate where or how they've built connections? If the candidate can provide me great examples where they've really driven customer-led impact, you know that leader will focus the efforts in the right place in your business and be highly responsive to changing customers. And it's being that infectious approach on it. I think principals should want those people in their business because I want those people in my business.
You've revealed to us that you're a working mum. What does leadership look like at home?
It's really a shared role for me and my partner, especially with the children, but sometimes I'm really happy to take a back seat and have a break. We sort of made decisions as a family unit early on, the roles that we would play at home, and we played at each other's strengths really, really well. Our big one is leading by example, and we are definitely a no-excuses family. And what I mean by that is I try to teach the kids to be accountable for their own actions and choices they make and not to blame others. I'm very lucky because I've got a very supportive partner at home who has supported me through my career choices along the way, and I couldn't do it without him. He's my rock. So if he is listening to this podcast, or when he does, I just want to say thank you because he really is incredible.
What's the worst leadership advice you've ever heard given to someone and why?
I don't really care much for the advice, follow your passion, which could be quite controversial. I find the problem with that is that some people are passionate about everything, and I would definitely put myself into that category. I'm very much the optimist. I read an article where they stated it should be changed to develop your passion. And if the person writing the article had taken up that new piece of advice, they would have gone down their entrepreneur path much earlier. So I thought that was quite funny, but I would definitely agree with that author. It's a worst piece of advice I hear too often for the disruptors and innovators out there.
Mel Lang, thank you so much for spending time with us on the Leadership Diaries on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Sam.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.